Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. There are unquestionably some parts of God's Word which even the most committed Christians find difficult, find challenging, find problematic, and at times maybe even find themselves saying silently, probably not to others, I wish that were not in the Bible. But there it is. It is in the Bible. And so when it is in the Bible, then we have to come to terms with it. We have to understand it the best we can. We have to obey it the best we can understand it. We don't want to misunderstand it. We don't want to misapply it. We don't want to twist it to mean something that it was not intended to mean, but neither do we want to ignore it, to reject it, to silence it, because if we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If that's true, that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for the people of God, then this section in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 fits into that category as well. And though it may be offensive to many, and it may be embarrassing to some, and it may be challenging to everyone, it is nevertheless part of the inspired Word of God. And so we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to endeavor to understand it, we need to be willing to submit to it as best we are able to understand what it says, not what we wish it said, or what we wish it did not say. And what am I referring to? Well, of course, I'm referring to the verses in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 that we have been dealing with on the Beacon Broadcast for the last several days. Namely, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Wow, I duck. Having said that, I duck, because I can feel the arrows flying my direction. But I didn't say it, I just read it. Right? So don't direct your arrows at me. I'm just trying to help you understand what the Bible says at this particular point. So thank you for joining me on this Beacon Broadcast for Thursday, May 19. And for those of you who appreciate a straightforward teaching of the whole counsel of God, we need your support, because some people are not going to support this kind of teaching. So if you value it, we need your support to help us pay the bills to stay on the station. Now, over the last two broadcasts, we went through a list of objections that people sometimes raise, and I showed you how that it does not appear to me that any of them are valid. We cannot say that these instructions are unique to the Corinthian church, because Paul is clear that it is to the churches, plural. We cannot assume that it contradicts previous teaching, because the teaching that speaks of women teaching, women prophesying, do not need to be understood in the context of the whole assembly of the saints and can just as validly apply to subsections of the church, such as groups of women, women's Bible studies, and so forth. That removes all contradiction if you will accept that understanding. Nor can it be said that these words apply only to judging prophecy, because that doesn't fit very well with the statements that you find here, and it has no validity when you look at similar statements in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And finally, I suggested to you that at least one commentary said that this is an uninspired insertion. In other words, that these words were never spoken by the Apostle Paul. They were inserted later by some copyist, some scribe, somebody who stuck them in here, but they don't belong. They are an uninspired insertion. The only problem with that is nobody has ever yet found a manuscript of 1 Corinthians 14 where these words are omitted. If you can't trace it back to a place where they were inserted, then you are certainly grasping at straws. You are certainly plucking evidence out of thin air and applying it where it has no valid place to be even mentioned or raised, because there is absolutely no evidence for that. So having said that, considering the objections, let's consider the context. How is this to be understood? And I have already pointed out to you that I think it's clear that these instructions for women to keep silence in the churches apply to whole church assemblies. I've already pointed that out to you, verse 23, therefore if the whole church comes together, verse 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? This applies to the general assembly of each local church, when everybody comes together. But it doesn't apply to every setting, and there are settings, smaller groups, subgroups, I've already suggested that, where it is entirely appropriate for women to teach. I told you that we have a ladies' Bible study in our church that meets regularly and has been going on for years, and I have been told that some of these women are very capable and skilled Bible teachers, but you know what? I've never heard them teach, because I'm not invited to the women's Bible study. In fact, if I were, then these words would, in 1 Corinthians 14, would come into play. So I have not heard any of these gifted lady teachers, but I have no doubt whatsoever that they are exceptionally fine teachers. And they are doing a wonderful job in teaching God's Word. And they are helping so many ladies in our church. And they are helping our church as a whole, strengthening it tremendously. There is a place for gifted women, women who are gifted with the ability to teach, to exercise that gift without contradicting these words in 1 Corinthians 14. In context, these words apply to whole church assemblies. And these words therefore reinforce the divinely assigned gender roles that God has given to men and women that are so much under attack today. And you can't read these instructions without agreeing that that is what Paul is doing. He's reinforcing distinct roles for men and women. He's reinforcing differences of activity based upon whether one is a male or a female. Clearly, that's what Paul is doing. But having said that, we also have to say that Paul is restricting some forms of public ministry for women. Not all, as I've already pointed out, but some. And we need to accept that. And Therefore, I will go on to say, here's what we have by either direct teaching or implication from this passage. Number one, Paul is forbidding women pastors in the church. How can a woman pastor exercise that role without violating what is said here? Verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Verse 35, if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. Now, that's a controversial subject. We've already said that many times. And there are many churches that have women pastors, and I would just simply say, you're going to have to answer to God for how you reconcile that with His Word. But it seems clear to me that these words prohibit women pastors. These words prohibit women in whole church leadership. In other words, they can't be elders. They can't be in leadership positions in which the whole church is involved. But they can be in leadership positions where women and children are involved, and wonderfully so. Now, it's also clear that these words place no restrictions upon women learning. They are encouraged to learn in church. They are encouraged to seek additional clarification and understanding and illumination, to ask questions in the appropriate way at the appropriate setting. There are some who go so far as to say that women shouldn't learn. They shouldn't be taught. They shouldn't go to school. They shouldn't be educated. They certainly aren't supposed to get very deep into Bible study. Nonsense, 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 nonsense. That's an example of taking this text to a ruinous extreme. That's not what the text says. And you cannot use this text to support that idea. There's no restrictions upon women learning. There's no denial of appropriate use of gifts by women. I have been blessed. I have been greatly blessed by the ministry of some women that's been exercised in a very appropriate way. I won't mention any names at this time. I've got some on the page in front of me. But there's no denial of the appropriate use of ministerial gifts by women, just not pastors, just not whole church leadership. But there's no denial in these instructions of female capabilities. They are capable. Women are capable of doing most anything that men can do, except fill the office of pastor, for example. They can't do that biblically, as far as I can tell. This certainly does not support the denial of women's voting rights. You say, where does that come in? But, of course, we know that in the past that has been common in society, and it was a great day when women were granted the right to vote. So somebody had been taking biblical teaching to an unwarranted extreme. But I'm particularly thinking in terms of church membership and church meetings and church votes. There's no restriction upon women voting. These words don't restrict women from doing that. And there's no denial of public service to women, as long as it fits within the parameters of what is clearly taught here. Women are wonderful creatures given by God for the blessing and benefit of many, and we trust that they will use their gifts for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.